اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
رائے خوشنودی امام زمانہ بلند تر صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا محافظا قائدا ناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك الضوغاء وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
There is a report from the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Says that the latch of the door of paradise, it's made of من ياقوتيه حمراء, red rubies, على سفايح ذهب, and there's a plate of gold on the door of the heaven. And a moment when he wants to enter that heaven, he needs to strike that latch onto that plate of gold, and the tune which is heard, the doorbell or the ringtone of that says, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali. So that is the doorbell of the heaven. And when Marhum Allama Tabatawa is inquired that, do you really need a doorbell to enter the heaven? He says that after all, the host of that heaven is Amir al-Mu'mineen. It's his place of dwelling, it's his place. So to enter it, we need a permission, and that permission is also got by the doorbell which says, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali. So we have to have that theme of Ahlul Bayt always into our existence, on our heart. One of the issues to which so much of importance is given is to cry for about Abdullah and Hussein. And crying, it is desired, it is recommended. Shedding tears from Hussein ibn Ali, all these are teachings that we find from Ma'asumin alayhi salam. And it was the theme of their actions during these days of Muharram and Safar, that everything was azam. So the same thing has to be with us. We have to teach ourselves to cry for Abu Abdullah and Hussein, especially the youngsters living here. We have to train ourselves, train them to shed tears for Hussein ibn Ali. When you look into the importance of these, the tears that are shed for Abu Abdullah, says that these tears are an atonement for the wrong that we have done, kafara of the sins that we have done. Tears shed for Abu Abdullah, they are means of elevation. And the Prophet, he says that they are means to come closer to the Prophet, means to come closer to the Ahlul Bayt, that is just by crying. And someone who cries for Abu Abdullah, he resembles Hazrat Zahra. Someone who cries for Abu Abdullah, he resembles Imam Al-Asr. Because Imam Al-Asr, he in that Ziyarat Nahiyat Al-Muqaddasa, says that فَلَأَنْتُبَنَّكَ سَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً, that I will cry twice a day, سَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً, in the morning and in the night. Why is that? For the azam of Allah. So that is something which is desired. When we cry, we resemble the Prophet. When we cry, we resemble Hazrat Zahra. When we cry, we resemble Imam Al-Asr alayhi salam. Crying for Abu Abdullah, it's showing that association towards them, and that is also paying the price of the Prophet's right. Not crying for Hussein is being disloyal to the Prophet. So the Almighty, He also sends salutations and salawat upon someone who cries for Allah. Allah says, Allah. وَسَلَّمَّهُ عَلَى الْبَاكِينَ عَلَى الْحُسَيْنِ رَحْمَةً وَشَفَقَةً. That is, Allah, behold that Allah, He sends salutations upon someone who cries for Hussein. That is, salutations of mercy and kindness. For that azah, for that cry that we have for Allah. Elsewhere says that every cry, every eye will weep and cry on the day of judgment, except those eyes that wept for Hussein ibn Ali. They will be safe. The Prophet, he holds the hand of someone who cries for Hussein, and he will find salvation in the hereafter. Just for that association, that bond. The least that Allah would give to someone who has shed tears for Abu Abdullah Hussein, he says that a guaranteed paradise with unlimited upgrades for someone who cries for Abu Abdullah. Now when we talk about crying for Abu Abdullah, it's being obedient to him as he has said. That is, I cry based upon the teachings of the Prophet and the sacrifice which Hussein ibn Ali gave. Whatever he wants, whatever he desired, I also have that same desires. And in addition to that, I cry. This crying for Abu Abdullah, it is very important. And we have to teach this to our children. When it comes to a majlis which is held for Abu Abdullah and Hussein, it's got these different elements, different components. And all of these components, they need to be put together. And if we have all of these components put together in the right way, in the right order, we find that that majlis, it will attract the mercy of Allah. That is, the intentions of the organizers plays a part. The place where this majlis is being held, how the decor of that place has been put up, how the reciters, the organizers, everything plays a part. Everything is a component and everything of it is important. We shouldn't think that things are small and large in this majlis. No, everything is great. So much so that even the shoes that are put outside, if someone bends down and puts those shoes together, that is also a great service. Because it is related to Abu Abdullah. Even giving the refreshments, that too, it has etiquettes, it has adab, that when we give this tabarruk, this refreshment to those who have come to this majlis, give them with utmost respect. That is, it is the host of Hussein who has come here, and this is what is his right or his haq that is being given to him. And for whatever reason, if we don't want to take it, it shouldn't be accepted that the person who is giving is hurt. Or for example, if I know that what is being given is not right, I just do not take it or don't consume it in a way so that it doesn't create a messy situation. May that be what is being provided, may that be whatever, in whatever manner. So that etiquette has to be observed. That majlis of Abu Abdullah and Hussein is great. And yesterday it was mentioned that the person, when he taunted those 6-7 boys, that why you just come here to eat, then Abu Abdullah and Hussein is sharp. He says that why did you send them back? They were my guests. So everything related to Abu Abdullah and Hussein is great. So what we learn from all of these ahadith and teachings of Ma'sumin is that this asset that is with us, which is crying for Abu Abdullah, that has reached us, there has been a lot of investment on this. Many, many centuries since the day of Shahadat of Abu Abdullah till today, 13, 14 centuries, people, they have given lots of sacrifices so that this azah has reached us. And it is upon us that we also transfer this azah that has reached us in the best possible way. So that is also a duty that is applied onto us. One of the other things is that you see online, when you want to translate different languages, you've got this Google Translator nowadays. You write the phrase and you get the translation, and you cannot take it for granted because it is 50-60% wrong. For example, when you want to say Sukhan Chini, in Urdu or in Farsi, it means gossip. When you write that and you ask it to translate, it says, speak Chinese. Our children that are growing up over here in the West, their language also is somewhat like the Google Translator. So they say something, but they may not necessarily know what they are saying. An example is my own son. Someone called and he said to me, Baba, Green Wari on the phone. I said, Green Wari? I come to the phone, it's Sabzwari. So the children, nowadays, they are like that. Now, the reason why I mentioned this is because many a times we find that children, they like tunes, nauhas, masaif, marsiyas, which they are fond of. It may be in any language. Listen to it. Maybe that tune, one day you will memorize it, you memorize the entire qasida, the entire nauha. After that, try to understand. All these are stages and steps. And once you've understood, then you'll see that that tear will fall. Wow. Tips to learn to cry. Now the children who recite, they are already 40-50% ahead. Now that they recite, they may not understand exactly what they are reading. For example, this nauha which is with Tufufi, Tusmazayna, Tillani. Tufuf, what does it mean? Tufuf means Karbala. If they just come and start to know what exactly the words of this nauha say, they will recite better and also that pain will be there. They will cry at the same time. Or the other day it was recited, Baba Aye, or the day, Father Paye Saritu, the only day Ziyarate, Omane Doktaritu. What does it mean? Pa'ayin avidin. And even blisters in feet. What does it mean? So if we just try to understand these phrases, these nohas, these poems, these qasidas, then we will find that a better service is being provided. So all that has to be done, and those who are already on track, they are ahead, and we have to train ourselves to make ourselves cry. And that is the teaching that we have from Ma'sumin, that we have to transfer this asset that has reached us. Returning to our topic, and that is this advice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Abu Dharr, here Rasulullah talks about glimpses of Allah's glory. That is, when we want to respect Allah, how do we respect, and then what is in that whole package and chain of respects? We've got the respect to Allah, to Rasulullah, to the Imams, to the Prophets, to Mujtahid, to Ulama, to those who carry the bearers of Quran, to Quran itself, to the elders, to the youngsters. How a person should be respecting all of these different persons. Says Ya Abu Dharr, من إجلال الله تعالى إكرام ذي الشيبة المسلم. That is, if you want to glorify Allah تبارك وتعالى, you should respect someone who is old, a Muslim who is old. وإكرام حملة القرآن العاملين, and the bearers of Quran. حملة in Arabic means someone who carries. Now, حملة القرآن are those who have memorized Quran, who know Quran, who talk about Quran. These are known as حملات القرآن, المسلم, Muslims. وإكرام حملات القرآن العاملين, practicing one, those who preach Quran and they practice Quran themselves. We have many who preach Quran, but they may not practice. They are not being addressed. وإكرام السلطان المقصد, and respecting Sultan. Sultan means a ruler. Muqsit means someone who is just. A ruler who is just. In this entire, on this entire globe, about 200 countries we have. Out of these 200 countries, how many rulers do we have who are just? Only one. On this entire planet. Says, Ikram Sultan al Muqsit. That is, you have to respect him. Then says, Ya Abu Dharr, la yazalu al-abdu yazdadu min Allahi ba'dan ma sa'a khulqa. So once again, Rasulullah repeats this. That is, a person, he will be distant distance from Allah, as long as his attitude is bad, as long as his akhlaq is bad. So we have to work on this akhlaq a lot. That is, he will come to the same point about observing the tongue and tips how to be observing it, but not today. Looking into the creation that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the Holy Quran and also in Riwayat, we find this way of teaching a lot, that how Allah, he bows down towards his creation. He being the creator, the Lord, the God, he bows down towards us. There is this ayah in Quran which says, "Man ladhi yuqridu Allah qardan hasanan." That is there anyone who wants to give some loan to Allah? Does Allah need money? Does he need funds? But why does he say that? Is there anyone who could lend some money to God, some qarz to Allah? That is, Allah, he has brought himself so much flow to the presence of this creation. That is, you give something to a fellow mu'min, it is as if you've given something to God. First of all, what is understood from these phrases is that it's the undiscovered ranks of the imams, undiscovered ranks of the Prophet. With reference to the Holy Prophet, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he says that اختارهُ من شجرة الأنبياء, that Allah, he chose, he selected the Prophet from the tree of the Prophet, that is, from Prophet Ibrahim. وَمِشْكَاتَ الْضِيَاء, and from the glowing lantern of the Exalted. وَذُعَابَةِ الْعَلْيَاء وَسُرَّةِ الْبَطْحَاء وَمَسَابِيحِ الْظُلْمَةِ وَيَنَابِيحِ الْحِكْمَةِ, and from the renowned family and the lights of darkness and springs of wisdom. That is from where the Prophet has come into existence. Now the Prophet, he has this glorious saying, and we've heard it repeatedly. He says that I am leaving behind two things for you. One is the book, one is Ahlul Bayt. If you stick to them, if you keep be with them, you will be safe. And these two will not come to me in the year after by the pond, but they are going to be together and they will never separate. So the two I'm leaving behind. If you want to be safe, you have to stick to the two. Quran, we know, it's the book. Ahlul Bayt, when we say, it is the Prophet, it's Ali, it's Fatima, Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam, and and the Imams from the progeny of Abu Abdullah Hussein, all of them are Ahlul Bayt. So we have to be with them, and if we be with them, we'll find salvation. So, connection between God's obedience with the Prophet. He says, respect. If you want to glorify me, you have to respect the Prophet. How do we respect the Prophet? By being obedient to him. So obedience plays the foremost part again. So by being obedient to the Holy Prophet, says وَمَنْ يُتَعَ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَتَعَ اللَّهِ, that whosoever is obedient to the Prophet has indeed obeyed Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Or elsewhere says that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, that be obedient to Allah, be obedient to the Prophet, and Ulil Amr. Ulil Amr, when Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari inquires that Ya Rasulullah, who are these Ulil Amr? The Prophet in reply says, it is the Ali and all the descendants, the Imams from the progeny of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they are the Ulil Amr.
Bawad ibn Salawa!
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali.
So, here Allah says, if you want to glorify me, you have to respect the Prophet. How is that respect? It's by obedience. What is that obedience? Whatever he has said, مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever he says, don't do, don't do. Whatever he says, do, do. A person, he was saying his prayers in the presence of Rasulullah, and Rasulullah, he says, calls him, says, come. He doesn't reply. He was continued with his prayers. Rasulullah calls him once again, he doesn't reply. For the third time, he doesn't come. And then when he finished his prayers, he says, Rasulullah said, did I not call you? I called you three times, why did you not come? He says, Ya Rasulullah, did you not see me praying? Rasulullah says, that God who has asked you to pray, has asked you to be obedient to me. Obedience comes first. And someone who is obedient to the Prophet says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasul idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. You will gain life. You will live. That hayat which is forever will be granted to you only for that obedience. Someone who is disobedient to the Prophet is dead. He may be a package of arts, he may have all the sciences, he may be a very qualified person, but because of that lack of obedience, he is dead, he is worthless. So, the other thing is that, we've got this ziyarat Jamaat al-Kabira. It's a beautiful ziyarat, and it is quoted from Ma'asumi, whoever wants to communicate or have a tawassul with the imams, you can have this tawassul through by this ziyarat Jamaat al-Kabira. It's a whole lesson of imamat. And Marhum Allama Amini, he says that someone who has understood the ziyarat Jamaat al-Kabira, he has understood the concept of imamat. Now we don't have any excuses, everything is so much easily available. With all of your iPhones, you can download this app of Zainab.tv. And you can get all of these du'as and ziyarat at your fingertips. And in that ziyarat, we have amazing phrases. It says, مَنْ أَتَاعَكُمْ فَقَدْ أَتَاعَ اللَّهِ. That someone has obeyed you, has indeed obeyed Allah. وَمَنْ عَصَاكُمْ فَقَدْ عَصَى اللَّهِ. That someone who has disobeyed you, has disobeyed Allah. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّكُمْ فَقَدْ أَحَبَّ اللَّهِ. Whosoever loves you, has loved Allah. وَمَنْ أَبْغَدَكُمْ فَقَدْ أَبْغَدَ اللَّهِ. Whoever hates you, hates Allah. Or for example, when you look into these du'as that we have in the sacred month of Rajab, then says that لَا فَرْقَ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُمْ بَيْنَ لَا إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكُمْ. That is, there is no difference between the imams and God. Now, it's a very heavy phrase. We have to understand that. Here, Imam says there's no difference between God and the Imams. The only difference is that they are the servants of Allah. Creation of Allah. Otherwise, by way of might, performance, or miracles and all that, that's simple. If we keep the Ma'asumeen aside, in that Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah says, O sons of Adam, I am that rich who is never needy. You be obedient to me, I'll make you rich, never needy. Says, O sons of Adam, I am that living who never dies. You obey me, I'll make you living who will never die. Then he says, now this is not addressing to Ma'asumeen, just to random people like you and me. Then says, O sons of Adam, I am that being who says, be, kun, fayakun, and it happens. You be obedient to me, I'll give you that power so that you will say, be, and it will become. That is possible. So whatever he does, he says, I'll give you all those qualities and karamat so that you can do it yourself. Or when you look into the might of Amir al-Mu'mineen, which is said to be great, the strongest warrior at all times, in the battles of Khandaq, in the battles of Khaybar, there was no one a match to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Or when it came to the recitation of Quran, riwayat, they said, you heard this Tayyul Arz. Tayyul Arz means for those great people when they want to get to a destination, the earth, it rolls and moves for them and they get to the destination in a blink of an eye. That is called Tayyul Arz. Amir al-Mu'mineen, in addition to that, he possesses Tayyul Lisan. And that is, when he wants to mount on the horse, and he puts his left foot in the stirrup, and by the time he gets up and puts the right foot in the stirrup, he has recited the entire Quran. Now, how long does it take? Maybe 4 or 5 seconds to get to mount the horse? Not as such that he recites three times Qul Huwallahu Ahad and gets, no, the entire Quran from Bismillah of Surah Al-Hamd to Nas of Surah Al-Nas. That is the Yugul Islam which he possesses. Worship of Amir al-Mu'mineen, services of Amir al-Mu'mineen, helping the orphans, the widows, all these are the great qualities which he possesses. Love, hate, bonding, all of it. So when we respect, if you want to respect Allah, he says respect Rasulullah, respect Amir al-Mu'mineen, and that chain has to continue. Omani, the Prophet says, Fatima tu bagatun minni, that is, Fatima is a part of me. Whosoever loves her has loved me. Whosoever has hurted her has hurt me. So that is that respect, that chain which continues. Or when Allah says, Fazkuruni azkurkum, that you remember me, I will remember you. So when it doesn't mean that only remember Allah, even the whole chain, that whole package, the Prophet, the Imams, all of them, and you remember them, it is as if remembering Allah. A person comes and asks our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi
salam
about this dhikr. And in reply, Imam says, Inna dhikrana min dhikrillah. That is, when you remember us, it is the remembrance of Allah. And then he continues, says that, Wa dhikra aduwina min dhikri shaytan. And if someone remembers our enemy, it's as if the remembrance of shaytan. So clearly, Imam has defined the two parts. And further, he says that we have to come to this door. May that be for our welfare in this dunya, or may that be for the prosperity of the hereafter. The only outlet, it's Ahlulbayt. Only outlet, no other way. One of the other things we have to train ourselves, especially the youngsters, is that this forehead that Allah has given to us, it has to bow down before Him. That is, whenever we get stuck, whenever we have problems, just go in sajda and talk to Him. He loves that state of sajda. When a person, young, especially the youngsters, when they bow down in sajda. No matter what the needs and requirements would be, that sajda plays that important part. Says, كُلُّ عِلْمٍ لَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ فَهُوَ بَاطِلٍ. That is, every science, every knowledge which does not come out of the household of Ahlul Bayt, it's batil, it's vain. وَأَشَارَ إِلَىٰ بَيْتِهِ وَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ لِبَعْضِ أَصْحَابِهِ إِذَا أَرَدْتَ الْعِلْمَ الصَّحِيحَ فَخُذْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ. That if you want the right science, the right knowledge, you have to get that from Ahlul Bayt. فَإِنَّا رَوَيْنَاهُ. That is, it was given to us and it was... So this is again something that we have to learn, that when we want to get something, we have to go to the right source. That is, not every person, not every member, not every mihrab, not every podium, no. The right podium, the right member, the right mihrab, the right source. Qualified ulama who have worked hard, who have served, and seek your deen from them. Otherwise a person will be misled. Continue, says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَانَا وَآتَانَا مَا لَمْ نُؤْتِ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah, He selected us, He chose us, and He gave us all that before He gave it to anyone else. So the door is Ahlul Bayt. So when Allah says, if you want to respect and glorify me, you have to glorify the Prophet, you have to glorify the Imam, and then says, Mu'min. Mu'min is someone who has faith in Allah, has faith in the concept of imamat, has faith in the hereafter. This is a mu'min. Says, مَنْ زَارَ أَخَاهُ فِي اللَّهِ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِيَّا يَزُرْتَ. That if someone comes and visits a fellow mu'min, Allah Ta'ala says, He has visited me. That is, a mu'min, he is so great. And if you recall your memories, it was mentioned in the month of Ramadan that someone who hurts a mu'min, it is as if he has demolished that Kaaba. Because the honor which one mu'min possesses, it's greater than the Kaaba itself. Elsewhere, a mu'min says, Ma'asum, he says that a mu'min who comes to visit another person, not for his day-to-day needs, not seeking help, no, nothing, just out of the love he has for that fellow mu'min, he steps out of his house to visit him. Here Allah sends an angel. Go and see, check him, and report back to me. That angel comes and asks that, what is the reason that you are going to visit? Is it something you need from him? No. any help? No. You want to serve him? No. Then why? Just out of the love that I have for him, I want to go and visit him. He reports back to the Almighty God, and Allah says, my servant, you have come to meet me. That is, not that moment, but it's myself. Now that you've come to meet me, you are my guest, and I am your host. And it's upon me to host you. So that is for a regular mu'min. Multiply that by infinity for Amir al-Mu'mineen. Now, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that is, I do not worship a Lord who I don't see. A Lord that cannot be seen, I cannot worship him. It doesn't mean that physical, material form of Allah. Allah has given that soul to every individual. And if that soul is kept pure and crystal, you can communicate. That is, you can see the existence of Allah through the soul, through the eye of the soul of an individual.
Baba Jibran Salawat. Salli ala Muhammad.
The next step says that respect elders. Now among the, this is the group one, is those who have spent their lives in promoting, protecting, safeguarding the religion, and those who have whitened their hair in this path. That is the way of Islam. Is respect them. And if we respect them, we have respected God. That too is again the same chain, the same pattern which he has mentioned. So it is worth studying that what they have done, and why have they arrived to this rank that Allah says that you respect them, you have respected me. Quran says that mu'mineen, when you look at them, especially the old ones, سِمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ, that sometimes you find that when you look at them, it is as if a godly look. It is as if looking at God, the existence of that person is so good. So that is the first one. And then he says that مَنْ وَقَّرَ, respecting elders is more or less accepted in everything. Now what about Islam? Islam says, that is again the Holy Prophet, مَنْ وَقَّرَ ذَا شَيْبَةٍ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ آمَنَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَزَعَ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. That is, you respect an elderly, you will be protected in the hereafter. Allah will protect you from the horrors of the Day of Judgment. Now what about the other different age groups that we have? Elders, Allah will protect you from the horror of the Day of Judgment. What about the youngsters, the children, or those of our own age? Here says that أُوْسِيكَ أَنْ تَتَّخِذَ صَغِيرَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَلَدًا وَأَوْسَطَهُمْ أَخًا وَكَبِيرَهُمْ أَبًا. That is, when you come and see children from among the Muslims, assume those children are your children. Those who are of your own age, they are your brothers. The elderly, they are your fathers. Now that you've assumed and you picture them as such, says فَرْحَمْ وَلَدَكَ, to the youngsters, who's your son, have mercy on him. سِنْ أَخَاكَ, you have good relations with your brother. وَبِرْ أَبَاكَ, do good to your father. That is, all the elderly in the community, they should be, you should do good to them, so on and so forth. مَنْ أَكْرَمَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمْ بِكَلِمَةٍ يُلَطِّفُهُ بِهَا وَفَرَّجْ عَنْهُ كُرْبَتَهُ لَمْ يَزَلْ فِي ذِلِّ اللَّهِ الْمَمْدُودِ. That someone who has helped a fellow Muslim, or has respected a fellow Muslim, with a word, وَفَرَّجْ عَنْهُ كُرْبَتَهُ, and he has eased his problems, says Allah will shelter him, shade him, under his shade, and his rahmat, it will continue, it's going to be an encompassing mercy, which will never end. That says those who carry Quran, that is Hamalat al-Quran, respect them, those who practice and preach Quran. Now who are these? Says Ashraf wa Ummati Hamalat al-Quran wa Ashab al-Layl, the best among my nation are the preachers of Quran, those who carry Quran and those who perform the night prayers. So excellence is in associating to whatever is related to God. So if you respect them, it is as if you respected Allah, the Lord, the Lord. Now regarding paying importance and respect to Quran, things have to be observed, that when we are sitting and reciting Quran, we shouldn't be placing that on the floor. Quran has always to be at a higher place than where we sit. Or if you look into the performance of the noble, they say that Marhum Imam Khomeini, when a Quran was given to him, he was seated, he used to stand up and take the Quran. That is a mark of respect. Marhum Allama Tabatabai and also Shaheed Mutahari, they quote, they say that Marhum Muhammad Taqi Amini, one of the great ulama, he was once reciting Quran and he dozed off. Then he rested a little bit on the cushion on which he was sitting and reciting. His ustad, Marhum Qazi Tabatabai, he gives him a message. What is this disrespect you are showing to Quran? Quran, when you recite, you shouldn't be resting back on a couch and then read Quran. Quran has to be recited with utmost respect. You have to bow down before Quran. That is Quran. Because as it was mentioned in that report, that Rasulullah says, I'm leaving behind two things. And in reality, the two are one. Quran and Ahlul Bayt, the two are one. It's like these two formats of one source file. One has been saved in a Word format, the other in a PDF format. The two are one. Then says that مَنْ أَخَذَ دِينَهُ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةِ النَّبِيِّهِ زَالَتِ الْجِبَالُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَزُولُ. That someone who takes his deen from the Book of Allah and from the teachings of the Prophet is stronger and firmer than the mountains. He will be firm if he takes it from the right source. And then says, وَمَنْ أَخَذَ دِينَهُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِ الرِّجَالِ. If he just takes this deen from random people, from words of mouth, رَدَّتْهُ الرِّجَالِ. And if he takes it just from random people, unqualified people, they will put him away from deen. And his iman also is not going to be the same. So again, that emphasis which Rasulullah has, that you have to take deen from the right source, from the qualified person, from those who are sincere. Says that when it comes to these people who teach deen or who propagate deen not from the right source, it is as if they're giving the slow poison with beautiful wrappers, but ultimately it's going to have that effect. Or that quote which we mentioned the other day, that our Imam, he says that when it comes to listening to someone, مَنْ أَصْغَى إِلَىٰ نَاطِقٍ فَقَدْ عَبَدَ. It is as if you are worshipping him. If he talks about Allah, you worship Allah. If he talked about Iblis, you worship Iblis. But he will never openly talk about Iblis. It's that way that how media works, that they start misleading people. May Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, help us in understanding these great sayings, quotes from Ma'asumeen alayhi salam, and this advice to Al-Abaza. May Allah make it as such that we also practice it. And all of that becomes an asset of ours. It may have been these days, and when this caravan of Noor, it comes towards Sham, Sahl bin Sa'd, one of the companions of the Holy Prophet, he says that I came to Sham at that time and I found that everything, the marketplace, it's all closed down as if it's a holiday. And everything has been adorned like a celebration that has been held. I did not know what the reason was. I've come to Medina. He comes and asks them, what is the reason? Why is everything closed? In reply, one of the people present over there, he says, that don't you know, we have a celebration here and Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet, has been killed and his household and his head is being brought to Sham, to this market, to this town center. Sa'd says, he's been killed and you celebrate? How shameful. And then he says, at a distance from the entrance of this town center, I see that the caravan is coming towards here. And there is a head which is accompanying this caravan. And when I look at that head, I see that it is it resembles the Holy Prophet the most. He says, I rushed to that caravan, and there I see a lady. I ask, I tell her that I'm Sa'd bin Sa'd, the Prophet's companion. Is there any service that I can serve? She says, then just take this head away from us. Because of this head, people, they are gazing at us. They are looking at us, and we don't want their sights to be at us. Take it away. He says, okay. Comes and gives 400 dirhams to that person who was carrying, and says, just take the head away for that money. Looking back onto that day of Ashura, we find that Zainab al-Kubra, she sees events unfold before her, who never, no one else saw. Only she is the only eyewitness. And how she, the actions that we see from her, they are amazing. Maqatil, they say that ثُمَّ خَرَجَتْ زَيْنَبْ مِنَ الْفِسْطَاتِ وَهِيَ تُنَادِي وَأَخَاهُ وَسَيِّدَاهُ, that she comes out of the camp and she starts calling, wailing, that is وَسَيِّدَاهُ, my master, وَأَخَاهُ. And how she comes to the assistance of her brother is that she fell down, she stands up. She fell down, she stands up. And throwing that dust, she comes on by Abu Abdullah. She pleads so much that Abu Abdullah, who had fallen down and who was whispering in himself, she is the one who brings him back. Sits, makes Abu Abdullah sit. Abu Abdullah saying the masail that unfold on him, they are all great. On that day we find that when he was exhausted, tired, dehydrated, Maqatil, they say that when he breathed, he bled from the armor. So many wounds he had. He stood for a while to rest. Someone threw a stone at him. His forehead was wounded. He bends down to clean the blood from his forehead, and at that very time, that mal'oon, he shoots a three-headed arrow, which was poisoned, which lands onto the chest of Abu Abdullah and Hussein, and there he says, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raja'un," and he wants to remove that arrow. He couldn't. He removes it from his back, and blood starts gushing out from his chest. Collects all that blood, wipes it onto his face, and says, "Hakada ulaqi jaddi," this is how I'm going to meet my grandfather, the Prophet. أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعدها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمن وجب له حق علينا ولمن وصانا بالدعاء ولجميع أمة محمد وآل محمد. For all those who are ill and ailing, may Allah grant them shifa. All those who have hajat, all of them be granted. Those who have passed away by this night of rahmah, may Allah have further showers of mercy upon them. May all of us have a good end. May Allah hasten the return of our Master and count us all among His true supporters and those who seek martyrdom in His service. Martyrdom soon. Yahusay.
Yahusay. Yahusay. Yahusay.
Yahusay.
Yahusay.
Yahusay.
Yahusay.
Yahusay.
Yahusay.
Yahusay.
Yahusay.
Yahusay.
Yahusay.
Yahusay.
Yahusay.